Good morning, everyone. Let's stand and we'll sing 281, What a Day That Will Be. So today, after the service, we're going to be celebrating Zuriel. Oh, you can be seated. We're going to be celebrating Zuriel and Zibia's birthday. So we're going to be doing that here. We're not going to the pastor's house, so you don't have to drive over there. So stick around after church this morning, and we'll have a little birthday party. And then next Sunday, we're going to move the, it's the second Sunday of the month, and we're going to move the nighttime get together to after Sunday morning, so more people can come. We'll try that next time and see how that works out. So, okay.
Also, don't forget it's going to be daylight savings time next Saturday. So don't forget to move your clock forward. Otherwise, you're going to come to church and we won't be here. Amen. So church meeting after the Sunday service. Also, every second Sunday of the month the fellowships would be in the morning instead of the evening. I know a lot of people have a hard time coming and attending the evening fellowship, and we're just gonna try it. If it doesn't work out, then it doesn't work out. But we'll see how that works out. Okay, let's go ahead and stand up and shake hands with everyone. Thank you.
Okay, Brother Rommel, come on up and do the scripture reading for us, please.
Hi, Ruthie. They're still excited. Good morning, church. Let's read from the book of Psalms. Chapter 84. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts! My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cried out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found a house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee. Selah. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them. Who, passing through the valley of Baca, maketh a well. The rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Selah. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the house in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. Psalm 84.
Brother Johnny, I hope you have a song for us. Okay.
Good morning, everyone. You know, I know you guys have heard this commercial. This insurance commercial about Allstate, saying you're in good hands with Allstate. Don't you believe that? You have one accident, they're going to jack it so high you can't afford to pay it, or they're going to dismiss you. Amen. But you know what? I don't worry about man's hands. I'm in the hands of my Lord Jesus. And that's all that matters, please. David said he's like a shepherd, and he knows our every need. He leads us by the gentle water, our hungry soul he feeds. Now as a little lamb, I'm helpless. My soul, I can't defend. I'm so glad the Lord's my shepherd, for on him I will depend. I'm in my Savior's hands, no pressure and nails are hands, no driven to win them, though precious hand with never fail. Though I may not understand, I'm trusting in the great I am. There is good to be in the Savior's hand. Now to my confusion, when I cannot find my way, so bewildered from the battle, don't even know, oh,
to pray, but I'm glad there's somewhere, somewhere in the shadow of my troubles and my fear, there's a Savior sent from heaven. Oh, I can see Him through my tears. For I'm in my Savior's hand. Those precious and nails are in, those driven through with nails, those precious nails will never fail. You know I may not understand how deep the great I am, for it to be in the Savior land. Listen, beloved, this morning. Though I may not understand, oh, I can trust in the great I am. Oh, it's so good to be in the Savior hand.
Turn to 519, Great is Thy Faithfulness, and a couple ushers come forward at the end of the song. Thank you.
promise we can make, every prayer and step of faith, every difference we will make is only by His grace. Every promise we will climb, every ray of hope we shine, is only by His grace. Grace alone, which God supplies, strength unknown, He will provide. Christ in us, our cornerstone, we will go forth in grace alone. Every soul we long to reach, every heart we hope to teach, every difference we will make is only by His grace. Every loving word we say, is only by His grace. Grace alone, which God supplies, strength unknown, He will provide. Christ in us, our cornerstone, we will go forth in grace alone. Grace alone, which God supplies, strength unknown, He will provide. Christ in us, our cornerstone, we will go forth in grace alone. Grace alone, which God supplies, strength unknown, He will provide. Christ in us, our cornerstone. We will go forth, we will go forth, we will go forth in grace alone.
Almost forgot, we do have birthdays coming up for March. I actually got it right in the bulletin this month, I think. I usually don't change. I would normally say February right now. So March birthdays, we have Vilma on the 1st, March 1st. And Joyce, I don't think Joyce is here. And Ruth Kimba, happy birthday. Anyone I miss? Anybody I need to add to the? Who? J.S. Okay, and who else? Oh, you too. You're not in the. Okay. So I got three I need to add. Can you remind me to add those? So let's go ahead and see, Ruth and Vilma, stand up and we'll sing Happy Birthday. Oh, wait. And Zuriel? And Jayus? And. Zuriel.
Nehemiah chapter 11, if you would stand to honor the word of God. Nehemiah chapter 11. We're getting close to the end of Nehemiah now. I probably have just one more message left from the book of Nehemiah. But then that's subjective. Amen? Nehemiah chapter 11, reading verses 1 and 2, and then I'm going to slide down to verses 21 to 23. Nehemiah 11, verse 1, the Bible says, "And the rulers of the people dwelt at Jerusalem. The rest of the people also cast lots to bring one of 10 to dwell in Jerusalem, the holy city. And notice, 9 parts to dwell in other cities. And the people blessed all the men that," notice, "willingly offered themselves to dwell at Jerusalem." Now slide down to verse 20. "And the residue of Israel, of the priests and the Levites, were in all the cities of Judah, everyone in his inheritance. But the Nethinims dwelt in Ophel, and Zihah and Gizpah were over the Nethinims. The overseer also of the Levites at Jerusalem was Uzai, the son of Benai, the son of Hashabiah, the son of Mattaniah, the son of Micah, of the sons of Asaph. The singers were over the business of the house of God. For it was the king's commandment," I'm in verse 23, "concerning them, that a certain portion should be for the singers due for every day." Now go to chapter 12, look at verses 27 to 30. Nehemiah chapter 12, verse 27 says, "And at the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, they sought the Levites out of all their places to bring them to Jerusalem to keep the dedication with gladness, both with thanksgiving and with singing, with cymbals, psalteries, and with harps. And the sons of the singers gathered themselves together, both out of the plain country round about Jerusalem and from the villages of Netophathi, also from the house of Gilgal and out of the fields of Geba and Azmaveth. For the singers had built them villages round about Jerusalem. And the priests and the Levites purified themselves and purified the people and the gates and the wall." And then finally slide down to verse 43 of chapter 12. "Also, that day they offered great sacrifices and rejoiced, for God had made them rejoice with great joy. The wives also and the children rejoice, so that the joy of Jerusalem was heard even afar off." The title of this message is "The Strategy of Joy." Let me ask my brother to, is he here? My brother to pray for this message, please.
Heavenly Father, again, we come before you to give praises and honor and just glory unto thee, for you alone deserve to be worshipped and to be served. For there is no other God beside thee. There is none like you. And we are reminded this morning, Lord, of everything that we have and enjoy in this life. All of it comes from you. Lord, as we just come together and just listen to thy word, we ask that you please bring joy to our hearts from your word. Be with our pastor. May you anoint him, guide him, give us the listening ears, listening hearts. May you be glorified and honored today. May your words be magnified. May the name of our Lord Jesus Christ be lifted up. For in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Looking at textual and historical exposition of this text, in chapter 11, verse 1, there was a strategy of bringing in a tenth of them inside of the Jerusalem. Remember how the walls were finally built, and they decided to bring in one out of ten, to live inside the confines of the gates of the, and the walls of Jerusalem, while the other nine parts were to stay outside. Look at verse 1. The Bible says to bring one of 10 to dwell in Jerusalem and nine parts to dwell in the city. And the people blessed all the men, and they were not forced to do so, but the Bible says that willingly offered themselves to dwell at Jerusalem. It wasn't by force. The people of Israel said, you know what? Those of you that want to live inside Jerusalem, I'll take a tenth of your tribe, and you guys get to live inside the confines of Jerusalem. Well, the other nine parts are to live on the outside of Jerusalem. That was their strategy. Look at verse 3. Now these are the chiefs of the province that dwell in Jerusalem, but in the cities of Judah dwelt everyone in his possession in their cities. What follows is a list of the tribes that were found inside. You'll find the rulers of the tribe of Judah in verses 4 to 6. The rulers of the tribe of Benjamin in verse 7 to 9. The chief of rulers of the priests in verses 10 to 14. The Levites in verses 15 to 19. When you get to verse 20, I'm giving you the exposition and the context of this chapter before we get into the message. In verse 20, now he begins to talk about the residue, the leftover, or the rest of the people of Israel that stayed on the outside of the walls of Jerusalem. Let's slide to verse 24 now. Verse 24 of Nehemiah chapter 11. Let me give you the context first before we get into the message. Verse 24, notice it says, Pethahiah, the son of Meshizabel, of the children of Zerah, and the son of Judah, was at the king's hand in all matters concerning the people. Now, what's going on here was this man named Pethahiah was an ambassador or an advisor to the king of Persia. At this time, Israel still did not have their own king. Oh, there was the prophet, there was Nehemiah that led the people to rebuild Jerusalem, but Israel still did not have a king. And guess what king and which king they were under? It was the king of Persia. They were still under the rulership of the king of Persia. This man, Pethahiah, was an ambassador to the king, and his job was to report all matters concerning the people to the Persian king. And now in verse 25, all the way to chapter 12, verse 22. Again, giving you the context, is a list of people. And these people are ordinary people. You're probably wondering, oh, why waste scripture on names of insignificant, ordinary people? I mean, and 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, Leviticus, Numbers, a list of a whole bunch of people. And if you were to read and spend time, I'm having a hard time pronouncing these names. Amen. If you were going to spend time in your personal devotion going through chapters like this, you know what's going to happen to you? You're going to be scratching your head by the end of the day, and you're going to think, is this inspired scripture? But, you know, I believe that every word of God is inspired. Amen. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof. And here's the thing. These people may seem insignificant, but do you know that there's not a single individual that is insignificant to God? Amen. God is interested in people. I had a debate one time with a fellow brother in Christ. He was a program-oriented type of a church leader. And he said, no, it doesn't matter if that person leaves. As long as we have the right program in place, that person can be replaced. I argued with him and I said, no, it's not about the program. It is about the people that run and you put in that program. And he said, no, it's a program that works. If he wants to leave, he can leave. Let's replace him. I said, no, it's not the program, it's the people. Amen?
Amen.
And so you come across a list like this. I'm already preaching. I said I wasn't going to preach yet. You come across in your personal devotion, you see a list like this, understand there's a reason why these names are listed here. Oh, can I remind you that if you are saved today, your names are also listed in the Lamb's Book of Life. I bet you would not want your name to be taken out. And so these names are here for a reason, to show us that God is interested not in programs but in people. Look at chapter 12 now, verse 24. Still on exposition, amen? Still looking at the text. Chapter 12, verse 24. And the chief of the Levites, Hashabiah, Sherebiah, and Jeshua, the son of Kadmiel, with their brethren over against them, to praise and to give thanks according to the commandment of David, the man of God. And that phrase is actually repeated if you slide to verse 36. Verse 36, and his brethren, Shemaiah, Azrael, Milalai, Gilalai, Maai, Nathaniel, Judah, Hanani, with the musical instruments of David, the who? The man of God. Oftentimes that phrase is claimed by unfortunately, pastors who call themselves, well, they don't wait for people to call them the man of God. They call themselves the man of God. I have to be careful calling myself the man of God, because I don't think I have a heart like David. Amen. You want to know who the man of God is? Is everyone that is saved is a man of God. If you're a lady, obviously you're a woman of God. Amen. It's not me being the pastor that makes me the man of God. No. Each and every one of you, if you're saved today, you are the man of God. Amen. Some people say, well, touch not the Lord's anointed. Yeah, you know who that was pertaining to? No. Who was it pertaining to? Touch not the Lord's anointed. Yeah, he was pertaining to Jesus Christ, but in the Old Testament text, he was talking about Saul. He was ordained as the king, and David did not want to kill him. Why? Because he said to the God said, touch not the Lord's anointed. And then some pastors today, unfortunately, they claim that verse and apply it to themselves. Touch not the Lord's anointed. Touch not me. I would never claim that. I'm not the same. I'm not different from you. I'm not higher than you. I'm not holier than you. We're the same. Amen. Anyway, look at verse. Back up to verse 29. Also from on chapter 12. Also from the house of Gilgal and out of the fields of Geba in Azmaveth, for the singers had builded them villages round about Jerusalem, and the priests and Levites purified themselves and purified the people. So that's the context of this. Strategically, they had placed the singers around Jerusalem. And when you get to verse 43, the singers of Jerusalem, their job was to encourage everyone that were inside. So the people that were inside, the Levites, the priests, their job was to purify the people. The ones that are on the outside, the strategy is like this, the ones on the outside, their job was to sing praises to lift up the spirit of the nation of Israel. That's what the text is about. Let me take you to prophecy. Okay, let me take you to prophecy. Go back to chapter 11, verse 1. Take you back to prophecy. Verse 1, the Bible says, and the rulers of the people dwelt at Jerusalem. You know who lives in Jerusalem today? I wish I could say that Jerusalem is being run and controlled by the Jews. But the sad truth is, Jerusalem is being controlled by Arabs, by the Palestinians. Amen? But prophetically, I want you to understand that there will come a time when Israel will have its rest from the nations. Jeremiah chapter 30 verse 11 says, "For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to save thee. Though I make a full end." Look at your Bible. Go to Jeremiah chapter 30. So you'll know I'm not making this up. Jeremiah chapter 30 verse 11. "For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to save thee. Though I make a full end of all nations." Zephaniah chapter 3 verse 8. Look at this. Turn there. Zephaniah chapter 3 verse 8. Familiarize yourself with your Bible. The Bible says, "Therefore wait ye upon me, saith the Lord, until the day that I rise up to the prey. For my determination is to gather the nations, that I may assemble the kingdoms." To do what? To pour, look at your Bible, look at your Bible. "To pour upon them mine indignation, even all my fierce anger. For all the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy." You understand what's going to happen in the end? Every nation will be wiped out, will be forced to bow down to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Now doctrinally, look at verse 1 again of chapter 11. Doctrinally, there's this concept of 10%. Some of you may be getting nervous right now. Doctrinally, there's this concept of 10%. The Bible says to bring one of 10 to dwell in Jerusalem, the holy city, and 9 parts to dwell in other cities. So 1 out of 10, that's 10% of the people. Notice how the tithe in this condition, in this situation, was the people. Notice how God made Israel to tithe its own people. You thought I was going to talk about money, huh? How do I know it's people? Look at verse 2. The people blessed all the men that willingly offered money. No, oh, wait a minute. That willingly offered themselves to dwell in Jerusalem. The concept of a tithe here, it's, you know, the number 10, I said in Sunday school, is the number of the Gentile. You'll find Noah, I'll go to 1 Chronicles chapter 1. Okay? 1 Chronicles chapter 1, if I may teach you something today. The number 10 is the number of the Gentile. 1 Chronicles chapter 1, Adam, Seth or Sheth, Enosh or Enos, Canaan, Mahaliel, Jared, Henoch, Methuselah, Lamech, Noah. How many? 10. Here you'll find the father of the Gentiles, Gentile nations. Noah, the father of the Gentiles. You'll find that in, notice this, you'll find that in Genesis chapter 10. You want to guess what verse? Verse 10. Genesis 10:10. "In the beginning of his kingdom was Babel and Erech and Akkad and Calne in the land of Shinar." Remember the story of Noah? He becomes the father of nations. And he's the 10th man from Adam. You see, your Bible is not an ordinary book. Amen? There was a time in this country when everyone believed, including the government, that this book is a holy book. Do you still believe that today? There's the Gentile kingdoms and kings in Daniel chapter 2 verse 41. In Revelation chapter 17 verse 12, the Bible says, "And the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings, which have received no kingdom as yet." You know what it's talking about? Gentiles. The number 10 pertains to the Gentiles. If you look at the origin of tithe, the first time tithe is mentioned, do you know what it was about? Go to Genesis chapter 14, verse 20. Genesis chapter 14, verse 20. I'm not preaching about tithe. I'm preaching about 10%. Amen? I'm preaching about the number 10. You know, the first time the word tithe comes up, there's this thing called the law of first mention. You try to understand your Bible, don't go extra biblical. Go look at your Bible. The answers are there. The law of first mention. Look at Genesis chapter 14, verse 20. Are you there? Look at starting with verse 18. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abraham of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered my enemies into thy hand. And he gave him tithes of all. Here you find a Jew giving tithe to a Gentile. Melchizedek is not a Jew. But you see, the number 10 is a number of a Jew. I mean, of a Gentile. But God used that 10% concept. I'm still on doctrinal, okay? That 10% concept. Because the Jews are connected with the seed. The Jews are connected with the seed. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. You remember the story of the woman? Genesis 3:15, the Bible says, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. See, the Jews were forced, they had to tithe. Okay? They had to give not only 10% of everything, but 10% of themselves had to be separated and sanctified for God, because it had something to do with the Jewish seed, from whom the seed of Galatians 3:16 will come. Go to Galatians 3:16. I'm still in doctrinal, okay? I'm trying to teach you something here before we get to the message. You see, it's easy to make spiritual applications. It's easy. In preaching. But it's equally important to teach the Bible. Galatians 3:16. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not unto seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. See, there's that preservation of the seed. And by the way, Satan had been trying to stop that seed from coming forth of Israel. Oh, he tried his best to destroy the nation of Israel. To destroy what? The seed. And it's not Isaac, it's not the king, it's not the patriarchs. He's talking about another seed. In Galatians chapter 3, Paul explains who that is, and he says, that seed of the Jews is not another man, but it is the God-man, Jesus Christ. And that's why there was that concept of a tithe to the Jews in giving it to the Gentiles, because there had to be a demarcation between the seed of the Messiah versus every other seed. Amen? There's that holy seed called Jesus, and there's an unholy seed that kept trying to interfere with that seed from being born. So when you get to Matthew chapter 1, you know what you have? You have King Herod trying to stop that seed from being born. Amen? Now let me make a spiritual application. Back to our text again. Chapter 12, as we close. Simple spiritual application right here. In In chapter 12, look at what the Bible says in verse 43. Also that day they offered great sacrifices and rejoiced, for God had made them rejoice with great joy. The wives also and the children rejoiced, so that the joy of Jerusalem was heard even afar off. You know what that is about? It is about the testimony. It is about a testimony. Here's how you can have a godly testimony. Number one is found in verse 43. Notice what Israel had to do before the joy of Israel of Jerusalem was heard even afar off. Look at verse 30 of chapter 12. The Bible says, and the priests and the Levites, what does that say? Purified themselves and purified the people. The first necessary component in order for us to have, for Israel to have a godly testimony, is that they had to purify themselves. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, the Bible says, now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned. Psalm chapter 24, verse 4, he that hath clean hands and a pure heart. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. What is necessary in order for us to have a godly testimony, first and foremost, is a pure life. You and I have to live a pure life. Secondly, I'll start preaching in about a minute from now. Secondly, look at verse 36. Verse 27. Second necessity in order to have a godly testimony. Verse 27. And at the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, they sought the Levites out of all their places to bring them to Jerusalem to keep the dedication with what? With gladness. The second recipe for having a godly testimony, number one, is a pure life. Number two, a joyful life. Amen. A joyful life. Psalm 118, verse 24, the Bible says, this is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Psalm 122, verse 1, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Second component of having a godly testimony, number one, a pure life. Number two, a joyful life. Is your life as a Christian a joyful life? And then thirdly, from that same verse, not only with gladness, but with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving, the third component to having a godly testimony, is living a thankful life. Amen? Ephesians 5, verse 19, the Bible says, speaking to yourselves in psalms, in hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in what? Psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. The nation of Israel, their joy was heard even afar off. Number one, because they were pure, they were joyful, and they were thankful. Amen? Oh, much of Christianity today is outward. There's not a lot of inward Christianity. You walk into a church, and you know what churches are full of today? Churches are full of bitter. They look good on the outside, but they're bitter. There's no love. There's no, people don't hug each other. They don't shake hands with each other. And yet the church is so large in number. Oh, much of churches today, I tell you, on the outside they look good, but I tell you, if Chula Vista Bible Baptist Church is going to have a godly testimony, number one, we must live a pure life, but more importantly and equally important, we must have a joyful life as Christians. You know what I would like for the atmosphere, and it is happening and I'm happy with it, is when people and visitors come to Chula Vista Bible Baptist Church and you know what they feel, you know what they see? Joy. Amen. Amen. No bitterness here, no anger here, no bickering here, no divisions here, no bad mouthing here. You come inside and somebody gives you a hug. Amen. Amen. Somebody says, how are you? How have you been? Somebody says, I missed you last Sunday. We missed you last Sunday. Amen. It's difficult to be bitter when you are thankful. How can you live a bitter life when there's so much to thank Him for? There's so much to thank Him for. The testimony of Christianity today is destroyed. Why? Because we are a bunch of unhappy, unthankful Christians. Amen? One of the symptoms of a legalistic church. One of the symptoms of a legalistic church. A church that says, touch not, taste not, handle not. Are people who don't smile. Amen? Amen. My vision, my heart's desire for our church is for Chula Vista Bible Baptist Church to be a joyful church. Amen. Amen. And to be a thankful church. To be a thankful church. Let me close with this, Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they had laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. What happens to a man that is changed, that is renewed, that is strengthened by God? The Bible says he went walking and leaping and praising God. Amen. Has God changed you? Has God strengthened you? Have you fallen before and God lifted you up and now you are walking again? Some of you had stroke and you were debilitated for years, and now I see you singing and reading your Bible. There's so much to thanking for. See, a truly saved, a truly revived person is characterized by a joyful and a thankful life. How many of you believe, for those of you that have been in Chula Vista Bible Baptist Church for years and have seen everything from the very beginning, how many of you can say that God has brought revival to this church? Amen. If you think that, you have to be full of joy. You have to be full of thanks. Amen? Because God has brought this church life once again. I am convinced that one of the reasons why people do not believe or refuse to believe in the saving power of Jesus Christ is because of our testimony. Because we walk around angry and bitter. We walk around, we go to our workplaces, we walk around our neighborhood without a single smile, without a joy in our faces. If your spouse is not saved, don't get mad at me. But would you consider looking at your testimony to that spouse? If your children are not saved, have you ever thought about your testimony to your children that are not saved? If your parents are not saved, I ask myself this. Maybe part of the reason why my parents are not saved is because the testimony of the saved children. Amen? Are you showing them the light? Are you showing them joy? Are you thankful? Oftentimes, I'm gonna act like I'm joyful. I'm gonna act like I'm thankful, so they can see that so they can get saved. You understand? You can't fake it. You can't fake it. I'll be honest with you. I try sometimes. I try to fake it when I come to church and I've had a rough day at work. I try to smile. But I know you can tell when my smile is fake. But guess what? I can tell too. The person sitting right next to you, she can tell. He can tell. I tell you, come into this church and you try to, hi brother. And you can tell. You can tell. But won't it be nice? Won't it be lovely if you walk into Chula Vista Bible Baptist Church and there's just that smile? I don't know if I'm portraying it right, but you get the point? How's our testimony as a church? And how is your testimony as a Christian? Is your life pure? Is your life joyful? And is your life thankful? Every head bow, every eye closed. Every head bow, every eye. Would you stand to your feet? Father, thank you for the testimony of the joy that you brought to Israel. But thank you even more for the testimony and the joy that you brought into our lives when you saved us. Father, if there's anyone here today that is not saved, that has not known the true joy, Father, it is not about happiness. It is about joy. The joy that passeth all understanding, that is beyond all circumstances. I pray that if there's anyone here today that does not know you as their Lord and Savior, may you give them that eternal joy. And Father, for those of us that are not saved, for those of us that are saved, that may be members of this church, but our lives have been full of bitterness and anger. Maybe other brothers and sisters in the church have hurt us and have taken away our joy. There were circumstances that happened to us, and that those circumstances have taken away our joy. Father, my prayer is that you bring joy and gladness back to those Christians that have lost their joy. And for those that are unthankful, I pray, God, that you remind us of your goodness. Remind us of how good you are to us. Thank you for your provisions. Thank you for my family. Thank you for the things that we have and even the ones that we don't have. Thank you. Amen. Thank you for this church. Thank you for everyone that's here today. Help me, help us to be thankful. Pray these things in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. If you need to come, the altar is open. Number one, is your life pure? Number two, is your life joyful? Number three, is your life thankful? Somebody to close in prayer so we can have fellowship. Brother Raul, would you lift up your voice and close in prayer, please?
Father God, it's so great and wonderful to know that we are called your child. Amen. All because of Christ, your son, who you sent to die for us. Undeserving, Lord. Your love is so great. Just like John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish.